You're on.
How good. See how that works.
Yep.
See, it looks red like light. It's recording now.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, this is the inaugural meeting of the Central Iowa Regional Water Technical and Financial Committee. Thursday, April 26th. It's about 2:15 now that we got our recorder working. Let's introduce the participants here. Ted Corrigan, Des Moines Water Works.
Dale Atchison, Normandale Water Utility.
Andy Fish, Warren Water District.
Diana Wilson, West Des Moines Water Works.
We have an agenda today, and I guess the first thing I thought we might talk about is, maybe I should ask, are there other specific things you guys want to see on the agenda before we go through these kind of general items?
No, I think it covers everything.
From an inaugural meeting perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I thought we would talk about is just frequency of meetings, location, time. I know the steering committee is going to be meeting at the Des Moines Partnership downtown.
How many people are in the steering? Is it the six mayors of the original six? The six.
Well, the calendar. My understanding is the calendars that was sent out by Laura is the meetings that have been held here.
They have. That's true, but they've been relocated now to the partnership building.
And they will have additional meetings in which we are not a party to.
Right.
That will include the six. The board mayors, the mayors and the boards of those six communities.
So the steering committee is the three board chairs, and that's it? Or it's the three board chairs, their respective mayors, and then the three mayors of the other communities?
That's what I understood.
That's what I understand.
Now, they also talked about having an executive committee, and it was not clear to me. It would be some subset of the steering committee, I assume.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. I'm sure they'll clarify that. But all of the steering committee meetings are also public meetings, so we can all go. I guess I assumed that the two of you and Bill would also be on the steering committee. Did you not assume that?
That was not my assumption.
These meetings that she sent out that are titled steering committee, I'm planning on being at.
Yeah.
At the partnership.
Yep.
But there's other meetings that I'm not planning on being at.
Okay. And what would those be?
I don't believe we've been invited. Just, I think it's similar to what's happened now.
Oh, like what happened last week.
Yeah. Okay. Where the boards and the Jason or whoever meets, and it may include the mayors now and some of them. Well, they did have the mayors last week, I guess.
Right. But you're still planning to go to the steering committee meetings.
Yeah, anything I get in it. An invitation for.
And I would assume, Andy, you would go. I assume I will go and observe at very least. But in terms of this technical and financial committee, I don't know that we can. It's not clear to me what the role is yet. And maybe after we define the role, we can talk about how often we want to meet or need to meet. But I would think at least we would want to schedule a meeting at least monthly, and maybe more often initially, depending on the agenda and what we need to cover. I did talk to Jason about giving us some guidance on what this committee needs to contribute. He is facilitating all of this. He has been creating all of the agendas and all the materials and asking all of the questions for the working group. I assume he'll continue to do that for the steering committee. So it seems normal, or it seems logical to me that he would share with us what it is we need to cover.
I would agree, because right now, I'm like you, I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah. We're in good company. So I will continue to reach out to Jason. He did send, and I think he copied the two of you at least on an email with a couple of items that were pretty parallel to things we'd already talked about possibly covering. But before we get into any of that, what's your thought on how this committee will relate to the Sedgwick Technical Advisory Committee?
In my mind, they're the same group. I think the same skill set it would be necessary, and so I would think the same representation from the same people will be there. Now, whether or not, at least until May 4th, when we're getting the financial information together, I can see including our financial personnel,
right.
But that's only for the next week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I see us going right to the Sedgwick Tech Advisory Committee. I don't know how they're different. Seems like we're recreating the group we already have.
Well, or maybe just giving that group different assignments.
More responsibility.
Yeah, right. Or a different focus, which is good. We've kind of been looking for a focus, honestly, since we got the long-range plan done. I agree completely. Dale, would you agree with that they're kind of one and the same?
I'm just trying to think them from a perspective of you know, the representative from Waukee and the representative from Clive or whoever else is invited to that technical group. I'm not sure that it's are they all going to be interested in this?
Or
feel that they can truly participate?
I don't know. Sedgwick also includes communities like Indianola and Pleasant Hill, who may or may not have a dog.
Let me give you, for example, first bulletin that Jason sets out to try to determine a 4 or 40-year contract. And I'm going to tell you that probably other than the three or four entities that are truly, you know, us three and Altoona, probably could give a flip.
Yeah, I don't know.
Versus the long-range plan and the things we've done. I mean, that reaches into the fingers into the lower staff members' needs, concerns, thoughts, want to have input. You know, I'm just struggling a little bit with, I mean, look at the group we just came from. I mean, we're talking about the mayors and the boards and the general managers for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly we've dropped to this technical group that's really not a decision-making level. At least that would be my perspective from my group.
Mm-hmm.
May be different in yours, but
certainly not.
But that's the struggle I have with that same group being involved and truly desiring to have input into this discussion.
Well, as people appoint their representatives, maybe we can have that discussion with the broader group. It's going to be difficult for me to distinguish between what we would do at this meeting and what we would do at that meeting. And frankly, I don't want to coordinate and send out agendas and post them for two groups that I think are so parallel. So I'm hopeful that they can sort of coalesce into one track and we can address some of these issues related to regionalization now, just like we addressed a lot of issues related to long-range planning for a year and a half. I think it'd be a noble effort. And I also think that the electives and the board chairs really want people like us to do, you know, this, the details, so that they don't, they can focus on, the more political aspects of who's on the board and some of those kind of questions.
I follow your thought in that a Pleasant Hill isn't probably going to be super concerned about an operating contract, but I think the transparency of having them in the mix while the conversation is happening has some importance. And since that might become a political issue, I'm guessing it will. I'm assuming the rep of Pleasant Hill is going to come back to their tech committee person and say, "What do you think?" You know, just to bounce ideas or, you know, get a frame of reference on things. So I don't think having them there, they might be not be a participant, but they're absorbing the details of the conversation, and maybe that can assist in buy-in.
And I guess it's their option. So.
That's true.
Yeah.
Andy, you have a unique position here. Not being part of a board utility, what's your perspective? I mean, you think Warren will, and you as the representative from Warren, will have interest in the discussion about how long should the operating contract be, or?
There's going to be things, yeah, that we don't know a whole lot about, so we probably aren't going to put in our input. Like that, we, you know, that's not our forte of contracts and all that kind of stuff. But at least being there for some of the other thing, you know, it might be 50% of the time we'll have input, but then the other times we'll at least we'll be here, you know, like you said, kind of absorbing it and part of the process. And so, I mean, that's kind of the reason I'm here today, is just to stay with the process. And
you know, I think as this matures, we'll see a lot of people join in, if for no other reason, so they can go back and tell their board or their council or their utility what's going on.
In the absence of information, people can become distrusting. And so I just think having the invitation out there and the transparency openness could alleviate some trust issues further down.
Yeah, and I agree. You have a valid point. And I guess since it's up to them to appoint their representative, they decide who that is. And so, yeah.
So I would be of the opinion that CertWalk Tech Advisory is this group with a different mission.
And we could potentially use those time slots that are already identified. And you know, I think, at least initially, that's the way I'm going to look at it. If we decide we need to meet more frequently for some reason, or...
And some of it may be if the appointees that come are truly, totally different. I can't imagine that they'd be a lot different than what the CERT would. Then that may have a bearing if we have a topic that comes up that says, hey, we need to pull the CERTWIC, truly the CERTWIC committee back together, we can and look at it. But
I'm expecting it to be all utility people, and, you know, utility employees, as opposed to electives, which means it would likely be appropriate to have the meetings during the day instead of at night. And, you know, that drives a lot, just who the people are, what the group is, will help us kind of determine. But at least initial first blush, I guess I'm going to think these are very parallel. And
okay.
That can change.
I don't know about putting my two cents
no,
in.
No, please. Yeah. Right? Yes.
Welcome.
I just know
there's no geniuses here. Yeah, the dyad.
I know one of our representatives on our technical, I think it's the technical committee, is one of our board members.
Merrill Dean?
Yes.
Yeah, he doesn't come to the technical committee meetings. Okay. He just comes to the general CERTWIC meetings.
Okay. But I think he's like an alternate or something. And he's not going to be able to answer a lot of these technical questions.
No.
And so I don't know how many of those people on the actual technical CERTWIC committee are really technical people. Because I think this committee is going to get pretty technical.
Yeah.
You know.
We're going to talk about water supply operations.
Right. Here. Right, so I don't know. I mean, you might have to re-put it out there. Okay, you might want to take a look at who your person is, and because we're going to talk about these certain things, and so appoint maybe somebody different if you want to, or you know, take a second.
You know, when we created the CERTWIC Technical Advisory Committee, we sent out sort of a pedigree or a description of, hey, this is the kind of person that we think should attend these meetings. And for the most part, we got technical people, you know, people who are involved in it day to day, that it's their business.
Okay.
some of the questions, like how long the contract should be. I talked to Sue after the last meeting, after the working group meeting, and I said, you know, I'm not sure that that's going to be answered from a technical perspective. I mean, I can talk about things like, you know, stability during this transition and, you know, knowledge, skills, and abilities, and bargaining unit contracts, and some things that, you know, will help slide that scale one way or the other. But I think at the end of the day, the steering committee group is going to say, man, no, we think it should be X. She said she agreed, but she thought that they would really value our input, and especially if it was created, the input was created in more of a group here that was less politically motivated and more operationally motivated. So.
In my opinion, it's a pretty easy answer. You just follow whatever WRA is.
Yeah, I don't know what they are. So.
My point of view would be approximately the length of someone's operational career, because I think we're going to have a real problem incentivizing and retaining people to become an operator. It takes years to become a good operator, and if the thought is, and the way West Des Moines Water works is, you start in at meter technician, and then the cream rises to the top until our best employees are incentivized by pay to become operators. If they know that every 5 years their job is in question, there's no way I'm taking that incremental step in pay to lose the security. It's gonna be a real problem. And so in my mind, I'm thinking 20 or 25 years. I think Bill said 40. I think that might be a little extreme, but the purpose being, I'm sorry, well, you are extreme. you're out there, Ted. But the point is, it should last the bulk of someone's career, so that that's not an issue.
I agree with that, and I think there are a lot of points that we can discuss on both ends of the spectrum. I mean, we don't want to get. There are going to be people who don't want it to be too long.
Correct, and I get that,
because
too.
They don't want to be tied into it. But I think trying to do this, we're not even going to have this figured out in 5 years. So to look at changing, you know, operational leadership in the middle of still trying to get this figured out is terrifying to me. You know, it just seems like a recipe for disaster. But that and... our contract is maybe in 5 years it'll be up. I don't know, but
your labor contract.
Yeah, we extended it for 5 years.
Contract.
I think
wow.
We did it for three, and then we extended it for three during
wow.
the legislative
sure.
business. So I think there might still be this in four more years. I'd have to look at that, because we didn't want to have to.
Well, and you make a valid point, Ted, that one that I really hadn't thought about, that maybe there is justification for particularly the first, period to be an extended length, more than what maybe some other people might be thinking, just because of working through everything. And you're right, the startup, when is the startup? Is it the day we sign the contract? Well, no, that's just the beginning. And you're right, there's a lot of things to work through, and it will take a long time to get through it if we ever get to that point. So there may be some wisdom in making certainly the first one longer.
Mm-hmm.
I think, if it works for WRA, why doesn't it work for everybody else? Their operators are the same, are they not?
What is the contract period there? Someone said
seven is what I remember somebody saying, but I don't have any idea.
I really don't know. I've heard that there was concern with the original contract being perceived to be too long by some, but they're through the original contract, the operating contract, and as I understand it, and the city of Des Moines is still operating the WRA, so... you know, I don't know what changed. I think it was more of a financial issue than it was an operational expertise issue.
And that's what I would see here more than anything. I mean, I can't see us running into a water quality issue. You know, we're going to take care of those issues. I don't see any of those issues arising. It might be something more of a financial. You know, what we thought was a good idea in the year 2018 wasn't such a good idea, and we need to revamp it in 2028.
Mm-hmm. Is the ultimate, like, what is the ultimate goal? To have the region?
That is a good question.
Hire the employees? I mean, will it over time the employees be employed by the region, or will it always be an operational contract? You know, will Des Moines Water Works, basically, you know, in West Des Moines, will they always be contracted, or is there a path to move towards maybe those employees, you know, not working for West Des Moines, but actually working for Regional Water? You know, because then if the contract's a little shorter, but they know that the path is okay, I'm going to be working for somebody else, but you know, everything's going to stay the same, the pay, you know, I mean, that kind of thing. There's still security there. Is that, I don't know if that's the ultimate goal, is to get those employees under Regional Water, or just always have the contracts? I mean, I guess that's kind of more of a question. But
as I've understood it to date, we haven't gotten maybe the full answer, but my impression has been that they would remain the employees of the entity that they are currently. Okay. And I think there's probably some management of the employee issues. There's probably some siloing of, I mean, our operators take care of things beyond sometimes just operations. So that had been my impression, is mm-hmm. that for simplicity and management of the staffing, that they would remain the employee of the utility and contracted. That's probably right. Open for discussion.
Right.
I think that's certainly the intent of the vast majority of the people at the table. There's a small contingent of people who think that the entity should employ all of the people who do the production, and they should own all the assets and be their own entity with their own payroll and their own everything. I think that's a small contingent. I think that initially, to get this thing off the ground, we will need to have operating contracts where West Des Moines, Des Moines, Polk City, Altoona, anybody who has production in the region will be responsible for operating the facilities they currently own with their own employees. And then over a period of time, say 20 years, we can figure out, is this going well? Is this how we want to keep doing this? Do we want them to be Waterworks employees? Or do we want to move towards them all becoming Central Iowa employees? And I think, given that amount of time, we could start sort of carving them out of the operation, because we have the same thing. We have people who spend 75% of their time in production and 25% of their time, like our fabrication people. You know, they spend a lot of time working water production, but they also spend time in other areas. And it's going to take time to straighten that all out.
Go ahead, Dale.
I think Jason's perspective is that to truly have a regional entity, the regional entity should own, operate, and have employees. And then all of the financial records, all the approvals, all the purchases are done through the regional board. It's truly an operational entity. Now, I'm like you personally. I, for sure in the first 10, 15, 20 years, whatever, there is no way that we're going to get there. I think it's not a good idea. It is a good idea from accountability, from responsibility. It's totally that entity. It's not dependent upon a contract group. It's totally independent and responsible for its own decisions, actions, and financial accountability. There's no auditing or presumption of what this cost is and that is truly that entity. But it adds a layer of administration that adds costs.
Well, it also adds liability because the same people, if our operators are through SCADA operating distribution assets. If the pump stations and the towers and all the things that make up a distribution system that remain West Des Moines Water Works are now operated by an operations that's not under their control. Someone needs to tell me how that would work because I can't sort it out.
That's a great point, and that's why we're here.
Well, no, I just said I can't figure it out.
Well, but those are the kind of questions we'll have to figure out. Longer term, I would anticipate operating contracts to begin with.
I think that's a given.
I think to begin with, and the way the system has evolved, I don't know how you can, without taking over distribution systems, I don't know how you do it.
Well, and the MOU didn't even ask that question. It asked the question, how long will the operating agreements be? Mm-hmm. Or how long should they be? So I think that's the presumption right now.
But on the other hand, Diane, if an entity is operating your plant, I mean, it's not any different than my system. Des Moines monitors and our pumps and everything are run off the levels of our tank. And they kick on and off based on those settings. So your treatment facility is the same thing. The operation is there's set parameters in your tanks. They pump to the tanks. They keep them maintained. I mean, the entity is responsible for that delivery and maintaining those parameters. I don't see it being, I certainly don't understand your system, but I mean, I don't see that. You know, that's...
It's like LP Moon. I mean, Des Moines Water Works operates that.
But do you operate it directly into... Does LP Moon's operation directly control all of Clive's system? Or are you pumping to a tower and then that...
Well, we're pumping to a source entry point. And then it goes to a tower. You know, they have a tower on their system, but it's...
But the distinction is that you're pumping to a source entry point, and from that source entry point, it becomes Clive's issue.
Right.
Whereas, if the regional, and I'm not trying to poke holes.
No, no, I know.
I'm just trying to say this will be a very complicated issue to resolve. You're pumping directly into beyond. You're controlling things beyond source entry points.
Well, for instance, our UBS, we have two pressure points. We have a high and low. There is no tank on that system. It's variable speed drive pumps, and they know that those are supposed to stay in that and a discharge set, and so they stay in those parameters and maintain them. Those pumps come on and off. If they see an issue, they let us know. Everything inside is operated and maintained by us, but they have those set parameters to maintain the system pressure. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, it's kind of the same, we're a lot smaller, but with Des Moines is because we have wholesale customers that we feed them right up to the meter, and then one of our towns, Martinsdale, it's not on, the tower's not on SCADA, so they come back to us and say, hey, we're not getting enough water. We say, well, we're providing you what's in the contract, so I don't know if there's going to have to be now contracts between... the West Des Moines basically water plant, and now your West Des Moines distribution system saying, this plant needs to feed this distribution system so many gallons per minute, and it has to run off this tower, and there's going to have to be, I guess, kind of those contracts. There's going to have to be a lot of.
Well, we still own the booster stations, and if we're not able to, if they're not able to supply the water because of. Lack of pump capacity. That's on me, and we got to upgrade it and do it. That's our cost, and we take care of that. But if the system is designed appropriately, and it can provide the pressure, then they maintain that pressure. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's.
Let's switch gears here because I know you have another meeting at 3. As do I.
Are you in that one?
Well, I'm going to sit in because I'm curious on the status of the project. I haven't sat in for a long time. Can we talk about the information request a little bit? Because I think you had some good questions that I'd be really interested in where Urbandale is going with those, and I can share where we're going. You asked the question about the percent of administrative time spent on production. In our case, we always allocate administrative time based on the number of employees in the in the work unit. So all that time, like Bill's time, if he's not working on something specific, or even some of my time, if I'm not working on any, on something specifically related to distribution or production, it's administrative time. It's allocated based on the number of employees in the work group.
So the employees in your work group, I would consider, because that was one of the methods we considered.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Your maintenance staff, I'm assuming, do you split maintenance between distribution and production, or are they all under production?
Well, we have the guys and gals who do hydrant valve maintenance are in distribution.
Okay.
We have essentially no crossover. Our grounds people sometimes get pulled into the other areas and used. But production maintenance people do production maintenance.
Okay.
And distribution people, they do distribution maintenance.
Okay.
It's pretty clear. It's a pretty clear line for us.
I'm perfectly satisfied doing it for Weston Wind Water the same way, just because it's
fairly straightforward.
It's very straightforward. So by administration, are you talking not only Bill's time, but your time, Peggy's time? What kind of overhead administrative layer are you talking about?
Well,
because our customer service manager, a certain percentage of his time is spent dealing with, customer complaints or concerns on, finance, obviously budgeting, et cetera, X amount of time. I could see, if I had to guess, off the top of my head, I'd say my time, my finance manager and accountant's time could be split by headcount. And probably my bookkeeper accountant as well.
See, I can do a little checking. I mean, we would consider customer service a cost center, just like distribution and production.
Okay.
None of Amy's time we could allocate it to production.
Okay.
Same with the IT. And I would assume that finance is the same. I mean, finance time, all in administration. When we do cost of service, we have that big administrative piece, and it looks like a big chunk, and Peggy always gives that explanation of, that's not just Bill's time, that's other people's time. But I would have to check with her and see if it was her intent to allocate any of that administrative time to.
Okay. I could see a case for it.
Yeah.
Just because our finance department spends some time.
It would be good if we did that the same.
No, I agree.
Just so that, I'll have to dig a little deeper.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I'm satisfied doing it by headcount and then percentage.
How about like HR? Do you have an HR
department,
or is it the
city? It's me and the finance manager.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
God bless
you. It's because
you.
I'm a people person.
I knew that about you.
And that would be the same in our place.
Yeah.
Well, let me find out some of that, and then I'll circle back with you, Diana. The second point here was about funding preference, 30-year term, 4% debt financing. We, too, use 20-year mm-hmm. almost exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
Our intent is just simply to share that with Jason, not to tell him 30 is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys ever use 30-year?
We have never. We did look at it a little bit when we evaluated the tank, just because it was an option through SRF.
Yeah.
If you qualified, but likely mm-hmm. we didn't qualify. So 20 years is what we were looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I The 4% doesn't bother me. I think that's pretty conservative. The 20 to 30 year, I don't know. I don't, in my mind, that might be something to push back a little bit on, unless he has rationale, just because if it's not a funding term that we use, then it's not going to provide realistic data on what this is going to, you know, what we're going to expect cost-wise. Every, you know, if we're going to do an independent facility, we're evaluating it annually on the cost of debt service on a 20-year. And so I think apples to apples, we need to do that.
Yeah, I think we can share with them. That would not be our preference. We were certainly planning to share that. That's not what we've done historically.
Okay. Because I believe in his request, it said something like based on consensus or feedback of the parties, or there was some line in there where he was looking for some input.
Right.
Yeah.
So if we all had consensus that 20-year was the right term, I think that's something we can unanimously present back.
Okay.
I don't know, does Warren? I mean, you have probably had USDA loans and such. 40, yeah.
But our information request is pretty minimal, so we didn't get asked all those questions.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of this is probably related to production.
It says 4% interest, 30-year term, 1% cost of issuance unless you indicate otherwise. So he's asking.
Which question was that?
That's the... on the finance, funding preferences.
Yeah, finance number 12. Please provide. We'll be using a common assumption of 1% of CIP costs for...
Unless the reason he's thinking 30 is to spread the buy-in cost to such a long degree that the regional rates aren't dramatically affected. But I still don't think that's realistic on financing and funding for new projects.
Okay.
I think 20's right.
Okay. And then... on the CIP question, you know, obviously we just finished the long range plan.
And that was that 2050 or 40?
40.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
2040. And we also have a 5-year CIP, and I'm going through an exercise. You know, there are a few projects in our 5-year CIP that are not in the long range plan, just because things have come up since the plan was completed.
Yeah. Well, that and CIP is probably going to include a lot of smaller things that a long-range plan wouldn't address.
Right. And so I'm identifying those things. One of them is like membrane replacements at Sailorville, as an example. I'm identifying those things, and I'm going to share that with Jason. But just for the next five years, you know, who knows what else will come up in the next 20 after that.
Okay. So, because the problem I can see is. We will have a pretty, I wouldn't say decent, but we can probably tell to some degree our 2040. But if they're wanting, if the steering committee is looking for this 40-year lookout, we're not, we get halfway there. And I'm not sure how we accomplish the next 18, 17 years of the...
Yeah, we can... ask Jason. I don't know what value there is in trying to look ahead 40 years. It's so far, and things are so unknown. What will happen to the economy? What will happen to Des Moines? And you're making such long-term assumptions.
So I guess if that's how my mind went, we're trying to get to the 40-year lookout. I only have relatively good information, and sketchy at best after 5, but until 2040.
Now, one thing that I would see from our perspective is that at least past 20, you're looking at payoff of the debt of a facility, And so you don't have the debt hanging over. Are you going to do expansion? And are you going to add some things? You probably are, but debt goes away.
Right.
Other than what you add on to it. So from our perspective, you would at least want to do, you know, past 20 to realize what the truly effects of long-range effect for us having a treatment plant versus not.
You know, the ask here was, aside from the long-range plan, are there other planned capital improvements to your water production assets?
So I think he's going to take your long-range plan.
He's going to take the long-range plan. He's going to look at everything in there. I didn't take that to mean we should look beyond the long-range plan.
Okay.
If that's his intent, that we need to be looking another 20 years beyond the long-range plan, well, we're not planning to do that, and we really don't have the ability to do that by Friday of next week.
Yeah.
And that makes, I agree, and that makes sense. The question came in my mind because of the steering committee's desire to look at the 40-year extension.
Okay.
And so if the goal was trying to put together information so that we have a more accurate, longer 40-year, then that's where that question came. If the answer is we go to 2040,
well, I think we have to go to 2045.
We have to go to 2046 to see what happens.
46 to see what happens beyond that. I mean, that has to be a part of it. And so, but from a capital perspective, I think the long-range plan is as long as we can proceed.
Okay.
That's why I don't see how you do it any different.
Yeah, that's fine.
If he believes that he needs more than that, I guess he'll have to feed that back to us.
Nope, CIP to 2040, that's just fine.
Yeah, and we're going to do other little additional things through 2022.
Okay.
That's what we have available. We actually have some things beyond that, but they're not very accurately slotted into years.
Yeah.
You know,
they're future projects.
They're future projects, and I don't know how speculative we want to get.
Mm-hmm.
What I was planning to do is the 5-year CIP.
So is that projects other than what's in the long-range plan that you're saying?
You know, Dale, most of them are in the long-range plan, but there are a few things. And, you know, an example, expanding the lime sludge storage at McMullen. We'd really like to have more sludge storage out there,
mm-hmm.
a third lagoon. It's not in the 5-year CIP, it's not in the long-range plan, but it's a project on our list. You know, I'm not thinking of going to the extent of picking a year for that and giving it to Jason. It's beyond 5 years. It's not in the CIP.
I'm surprised that it's not in your long-range plan, though, because, I mean, if you're going to grow to the $38 million or whatever is produced, that it would have seemed that would have been there. But I know that was a big project and a lot of things to think about.
Well, and the storage that's out there is adequate. It's just, it's inconvenient to do it with just two basins. I'm a little surprised we didn't have sludge dewatering like we have there out there. But again, like you said, a million points of light out there, and that one's not. So that's what we're doing. Anything else in the information request that we should talk about here in the next 2 minutes? And maybe another question here is, before we end, when do we want to meet again?
When is our next tech advisory meeting? Because I don't know if there's any need for us to meet before the financial reporting is due. I mean,
next week.
I
don't know that we could get it done. It'd be kind of nice for the other entities to appoint their representatives before we meet again. But the next technical advisory committee is about 3 weeks from now.
When is that?
The 17th of May.
Why do I not have that? Oh, I have a I may have a conflict there, but that's right.
That's the IAWA general membership meeting.
Yeah.
So will there be many conflicts?
Dale and I would have one. I don't recall who all goes to that one.
Ankeny would be invited. Ken usually goes, but he's going to be retired, so who knows if somebody
will be done by then.
Yeah.
We could consider moving that, but it's that day or within a week either way of that, mid-May.
Yeah. Well, we can leave it on the schedule, and we wouldn't need to cancel it. We can cancel it if we don't feel like we have enough.
I think we'll schedule that one. I think we'll schedule them out that way as those the dates of those meetings for now. And then if we think we need additional meetings, we can schedule additional meetings. And then I guess if there are other questions on the information request, maybe we can just interact by email. I'm going to get some answers from Peggy about the administrative costs and what all gets charged to production. That should be pretty straightforward, just right out of the cost of service. 20 years, and then I don't know if there are any other issues. That 1% of capital costs for operating costs, is that something
you've ever
heard of that?
I'd never heard it. He said it was a commonly used assumption, so I'm trusting that's the case. But
1% of what?
1% of capital that they're going to use as the assumption for operating costs of new facilities. So if it's a $100 million facility, then the annual operating cost is $1 million a year.
I've never heard the rule of thumb, but
I couldn't argue with it.
I can't, yeah.
I don't have a better number. You know, I was just thinking if it's a...
So what does that mean? Is that staff and everything?
Which seems bizarre to me because 15 years ago when we did an analysis on whether we were going to do a RO membrane for portion of our treatment, it was like a $20 or $25 million capital. And our operating was going to be over $1 million. So that doesn't fit that. I don't know if there were additional.
Like 5%.
Yeah, it's significantly different. So that, but that's the only reference I have to go based on.
I have no reference, and we didn't bother calculating it. We just said, if that's commonly used, I guess we'll use it.
Well, I guess if everybody's using the same, I guess, I don't know.
Well, Laura wanted me, I guess our other meeting is ready to go, but Laura wanted me to give her sort of a schedule of future meetings. So I will give her the schedule of the future tech committee meetings. And then this will develop here over the next week.
Well, I think by giving it 3 weeks or so before the actual first meeting, that gives the steering committee time to put together their thoughts on prioritizing what they want us to accomplish. I mean, we've got a good baseline of things, but if there's something they really want done quickly, first out of the gate.
Well, and we can ask Jason, too. He said he was going to come up with some additional things, give him more time. I can have some more quick topics for you after some additional thought and review of the MOU.
We're only half done reviewing the MOU as a big group.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we've kind of kicked all the hard topics down the road.
Yeah, they've been in the parking lot.
Parking lot.
Yeah, they've been looking for somebody to help clean up the parking lot.
Me or the parking lot. Yeah. We're the tow company.
It might become a junkyard.
Thank you for coming over. I know Diana, you had to come over anyway, but Dale, Andy, thanks for your
time. Thanks for moving
it. So, was it informational? Was it worth your time? Let me ask you.
Yeah. I'm just here to keep you guys honest.
I'll tell you what, that reporter and you, we're on our best behavior.